Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 10 p.m., and that means you are tuned in to the Soul Sessions Radio Show right here on the Flavor News Radio Network, teaming up with Soul City Radio to bring you that good quiet storm. Tonight, my guest will be soulful band. A very soulful band coming out of the New Orleans area. The music is hot. I'm just going to put it out there like that. The music is hot. Go by the name of Warp Seat, and they will be in the building at the 30 mark. And I can't wait to talk to them. I got some good questions I want to ask them. But in the meantime, you know, I got that good music for you. I'm a little reeling. The Orioles lost their series against the New York Yankees in the American League Divisional Series. Lost 3-1 today, and their miracle season is over. But it's all good. But anyway, like I said, I do got some music for you. Got some music for you. And so, as always, I just need you to kick back, relax, pour the wine, dim the lights, and allow me to get you. Excuse me. Allow me to carry you through that, which is the quiet storm.
Broken man, and finally get
that way. It said, your daddy lived for you and your daddy died for you. And I'll do the same. I'll pay if the sun comes up and I'm not home. Be strong. I'm not beside you. Do your best to carry on.
I know you notice when
I love that song. That was Shy. Well, actually, that's two remaining members of Shy, Darnell and Garfield. They actually still tour together. They still make music together. And don't take this to the bank, but somewhere in the future, you may possibly see a full reunion of Shy. But, you know, who knows? But anyway, that was a track they did together. It's called Something About You. And, yeah, I really like that song. Before that, we had Rona Rawls with Colors of Love, Music Soul Child with his rendition of the classic Settle for My Love. That was featuring Aries. That's the females that you hear singing the track with them. Before that, we had India Irie with Good Man. Before that, we had Cynthia Rain with BU. That song is off of her CD. It's entitled Beautiful Soul. She's out of Indianapolis by way of Dayton, Ohio. I was recently put onto her, and I really like that CD. It's jazzy, it's soulful. You know, it's that kind of blend, that really good music. And we led that set off with The Revelations featuring Trey Williams. Title of that track was One Reason to Stay. And as I did say at the top of the show, I do have a guest tonight. Well, actually, I have guests, plural, tonight. And they are the magnificently talented ensemble, goes by the name of Waterseed. And I do believe that we have some on the line. Go ahead and bring them on. Please help me give an official welcome to the Soul City Radio Show. Oh, I screwed that all up. The Soul Sessions Radio Show. Please help me welcome Waterseed. Yay.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for taking your time out of your busy Friday to come hang with me. I really do appreciate that.
Our honor. Our pleasure and honor.
Yeah, so do I have all of you? Are all of you here tonight?
I'm Lou. This is Lou Hill. Who else do we have there?
This is Jay. Jay Sharp.
What's going on?
And Shalia.
One more time?
Shalia.
Spell that for me.
S-H-A-L-E-Y-A-H. Shalia.
Okay, yeah, what just went through my mind was nothing like that, so I'm glad I asked. All right, well, yes, thank you. Thank you, and welcome, welcome. Now that we actually got the introductions, because I was actually going to formally ask you guys that, let me just jump to my next question. Origin, like, how did you guys actually come together?
Right. This is Lou. It originally started off as a production team, college production team in New Orleans. From there, we kind of grew into a band just out of the love for the stage and performing. We decided, you know, we would actually continue producing, but also, you know, add the live performance element to it. And we've just been touring nonstop since then, putting out as much work as possible. Our first city that we moved to was D.C., so we played the D.C. Baltimore area for a while, then back to New Orleans. Then Hurricane Katrina moved us out of New Orleans to Atlanta, so we're kind of hanging out in Atlanta for a little bit now.
Man, I wish I would have known about you when you were here in Baltimore, because I would have loved to come see you guys live. Because I'm really impressed with the music. Like, if you didn't know any better, I would say that you guys have been playing for, like, I mean, I can imagine you guys have been playing for some time now, but, I mean, I thought you guys were playing together, like, I mean, years, maybe, like, 15, 20 years or something like that. It's just, I mean, the chemistry that I hear when I listen to your music, I mean, it's you could tell that you guys have it, and that's one of the things that stand out the most when I listen to your music. But
thank you.
Go ahead. Thank you. I don't know if you can hear me. I've been having a technical difficulty on my end.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I ask you again, that's probably why. I don't want you to think that I'm just not listening or anything. All right. Yeah, so talk about chemistry. That's the thing that you guys naturally had. Is that what drew you together, or is that something that has, you know, been built through time?
I can let somebody else take that one, I guess. Yeah.
It's a good question. What you're hearing is really a combination of us vibing together and being good friends, functioning like a family, and rehearsing.
Right.
But, you know, you can only do so much rehearsing before it becomes stale or sterile, and it's something we're very careful about. So when somebody has a fresh idea, we just kind of vibe on it and build around that. Sometimes someone comes in with a deep inspiration. Hey, this is what I'm hearing. Let's all come together and work this out. And other times it's just maybe we're going over something that we already have in the show, and just something natural happens where somebody just wants to flip it a different kind of way, and we just let it flow. We might even have a some type of recording device in the rehearsal space, and we can play that back, capture a very candid moment, and turn it into something that maybe you can write over later or incorporate into the stage show because it just flows so naturally. So the more we do that, the more that chemistry comes together. But more than anything, I really believe it's just the way we click together as people that shows up in the music.
Right, for sure. I want to make sure that I get this out before I forget. What instruments do you all play? Like, who plays what?
I'm Jay Sharp. I play keys.
Keys, okay.
Mm-hmm. Lou Hill, drums.
Sharia, I'm a vocalist.
Cool, cool. And I know there are other instruments. So who, the ones that who aren't here tonight, what do they play?
Okay. We have Sinise, who plays flute. Abel, who plays saxophone. Dante Shaw, who is also a vocalist. And Amari Adams, who's a guitar player for the group. And as of late, a young man named Robert Bell, who also has been sitting and playing bass with us.
Wow, so it's a lot of you. Now it makes sense more when you say part of the chemistry is rehearsed, because I can imagine with so many people that, you know, you would have to do that, even with, you know, the camaraderie that you guys already have. But it seems to make it work. Whatever it is you guys do, you guys make it work.
Well, thank you.
For sure, for sure. Now, I see that you guys have a lot of projects. I have music from three of them, maybe four. Mm-hmm. And but I'm not sure which one is the latest. That's what I was trying to get at. Which one of the projects is the latest?
Our latest work that's been released is, well, our latest full length. Well, let me back up. Our latest project that's been released is called "The Feel Like I Do" suite. Is that one? The one before that, which was a full length album, is called Fresh.
Okay.
And then before then, we had our live CD called Early for the Future, and then before that was our first EP, Two Words.
Got you. And that live CD, where was that recorded?
In Atlanta at Apache Cafe, actually. It's been a great CD for us. It's something we just did a little two-track recording off our live show, and it's been received very well by, I mean, everybody around the world. It's one of our top-selling CDs still to date.
Oh, that's nice. Now, being that you are being heard around the world, I can imagine you've been, you know, two other places, done a lot of touring and stuff. Where have some of the, you know, I'll just put it this way. Where has your music taken you?
Wow. As far as touring, we've gone to Russia for 3 months. As far as the States, we've traveled so many to so many, you know, places in the U.S., everywhere from, you know, San Francisco to, you know, Baltimore to Philly, you can name it. You know, we're There's a few major cities we haven't hit yet. We're probably going to get that this time around. But, I mean, as far as touring, I mean, it takes us everywhere. You know, we're excited about exploring more of Europe and Asia and also South America. So we have a lot of places we've gone, but there's a lot more places that, you know, we're excited about going to.
I can dig it. I'm interested to know. I mean, now that you mentioned South America, do you have any idea as to the type of reception you get in South America?
We've met quite a few DJs from South America, ironically enough, in Europe, who receive the music very well. So I think it'll be a great situation. I don't see it being, really too far off. That's the great thing about being brought up in New Orleans. In New Orleans, we kept the drum. We kept the language of the drum. And a lot of the rhythms that were taught in New Orleans and in, you know, Congo Square were from those slave ships that, you know, landed in the Caribbean and migrated through South America. So we, since we have that kind of undertone in our music, I think that we probably fare off pretty well there. I would be excited about going, you know. I am excited about going eventually.
Right.
Me too.
Say again.
I'm also looking forward to going to South America. I'm pretty sure they'll love the music.
Sure. I can imagine. I wish I could go. I mean, I have a deep friend who was in Buenos Aires, you know. Always talking to me just how beautiful it is down there, and I'm just like, man, I don't understand how you. I mean, the way she describes it to me, I can't imagine wanting to live anywhere else.
Right.
I definitely want to go see it.
Right. We've heard the same. We've heard the same.
Right. So trying to figure out this. I got an impression, your last statement about, you know, just the influence that being in New Orleans has on your music. But when I listen to it, you know, I don't hear the sound that I expect to hear from New Orleans music. So I'm assuming that you guys have tried to not be in that box of the traditional New Orleans sound, but you could still hear the influence. I mean, is that something you work on? Is that just how your music is pressed? What is it exactly?
I think that's something that, New Orleans is like, I guess, any other city that's known for anything in particular. When you think of New Orleans, you think of, you know, jazz and Mardi Gras, Bourbon Street, beats and all that sort of stuff, but I mean, to grow up in that city and learn music in that city is a whole different experience. The music, I guess what I'm saying is the music that is sold to the world that's called New Orleans music is just kind of like the tip of the iceberg. You have great musical legends that live there. For example, Alan Toussaint, who's a famous producer, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recipient, who was credited with being one of the original people who started R&B and everything even before Motown. You have Ernie Cato, who lived there, and, you know, I got the honor of playing with quite a bit. He's noted for teaching James Brown about funk and how to dance. And then you have the Meters, who are pretty much considered, you know, abroad as the beginning of, modern day funk, soul, you know, they're like the pioneers of that, and they're also in New Orleans as well, and they perform with us as well. So it's all of these other styles of music that exist in New Orleans that not a lot of people are exposed to. It's sad that they're not, or they've forgotten that the music exists, but it's there, and we definitely try to stretch the limit on it. You know, being musicians in a musical town, the first thing they teach us is do it this way and don't do it any other way. But as soon as they understand that we have it, they challenge us to be different all the time. Like, do something different, express yourself, you know, challenge yourself, always push the envelope. So I guess in that sense, we've always, when we sit down and write and do stuff, we we're always trying to push the envelope, you know, find
right.
ourselves. But at the same time, if the music was ever picked up and brought into a college theory class, you know, the professor and students can peel it apart and say, wow, they were really thinking about some real hip stuff. Though you really wouldn't necessarily, the untrained ear wouldn't hear it, but, you know, we sit down and write and try to, you know, think in terms of, you know, does this make my city proud? Does this make my professors proud? Because we carry our professors with us everywhere we go. And does this show that I am a competent musician? And so it's, I can understand, I guess, the question is, but it's so much, it's such a rich culture, you know, and there's so many things that you learn as a musician in New Orleans. It's never changing, you know. But I would like to think that Waterseed is the carrying on a strong tradition of that which is, you know, New Orleans.
Understandable. I want to get into some music, and I got to play Feel Like I Do, because that track is just really hot. I won't wait to play this song, but I would like for you guys to let the audience know, you know, just how this song came to be, because, man, I mean, I'm feeling it. This was the song that introduced me to you guys, and it was kind of ironic how it happened. I had actually interviewed John Bibbs, and that was a bit of a surprise, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. Like, you know, so I'm interviewing them, and I played the song because they had actually sent me the song, or sent me to get the song. And I'm here, and I'm like, man, that's nice. And, you know, I kept asking them about it, and, you know, then I started, you know, looking into you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I realized that you guys, you know, you've been around for some time, like, but for me, you know, I'm just learning about you. So that's what really intrigued me, and it just made me listen more. And here we are. So
right.
I'm going to play this. And go ahead.
No, you got it.
No, I'm just saying, I'll go ahead and play this, and then when we come back from that, you know, you guys could, you know, tell the story of how this song came to be.
Beautiful.
Oh, sounds good.
All right, folks, this is Feel Like I Do, featuring John Bibbs by Waterseed. I love it, so I know you guys will. Check it out.
I'm
first I want to ask, what instrument is making that sound?
Yeah, you got it, Jay.
Say again?
Which sound was that?
That instrument at the very end, that last instrument that you hear. Just before it goes off. Yeah, that.
It's actually it's a combination of sounds with an effect on it, which is something I like to do. And it pleases me that you can't identify it, because that's kind of what I work for, creating something unique, you know. And it's actually mostly horns, but along with a lead synth, and it's kind of affected. Because I have a little bit of a thing about keyboard horns, you know. Coming from New Orleans, I love real horns. But
right.
If I'm going to put some keyboard horns on something, I need to put some effects on it, distort it, layer it with something, and just make it a little more interesting. Because we got horn players in the band, and you know, I'm not trying to take their job. They don't try to play little keyboard licks with me sitting right there. So
yeah, I feel you. So who does the songwriting?
Well, like Lou said, Waterseed started out as a songwriting team, and for all intents and purposes, it still is. That particular song, the track came from just a library of tracks that I have, and Lou has a library of tracks as well. And sometimes when we want to write, we just go to the vault and go through ideas that we've already hashed out on some other rainy day where we just were flowing with the inspiration. That particular track came up, and Lou was really feeling like he could write to it, and he did. Didn't take him very long, so I think he was really flowing with it, and the song just really came together from there. I think I may have left the track at his place, and the very next time I saw him, it was pretty much a song. And that's oftentimes how it happens. Every now and then we'll start completely just us in the room, pencil, paper, instruments, and say, okay, time for a song, and it comes together that way. Other times someone has a fairly developed idea and is looking for input from the bandmates, which I really love when we do that. Someone may have some music, but no real idea for a melody or lyrics. So someone can write the melody, someone can write the lyrics, someone can write the music, and there's no real designation on who's going to do what. There's just kind of a tendency that emerges, and it becomes our workflow, our work ethic.
I can dig it. So how did you come to have John Bibbs on your album, on that track?
We
were on tour with Fresh, and we were hanging out with at Fuzzy Wednesdays and down in Richmond, and you know, I knew about John, checked out some of his music years ago, and you know, he was performing. I didn't know who he was initially. You know, I just knew this cat was on a stage doing an amazing job, you know. And after his set, you know, he came up and bought a CD from us, and I literally just recognized the email address, and you know, I didn't know who he was when he was performing. And you know, say, hey, John, you know, cool dude, blah 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 blah. We kind of went back to back to Atlanta, and we connected. We were looking for somebody to actually perform, sing the tune or sing a couple of tunes with us, and put out a call to John, say, hey, John, we have an idea. Sent him the track. He kind of demoed it out there, and we flew him into Atlanta and spent a weekend together hanging out. And the rest is history, and that's pretty much what happened.
That's nice. I mean, I like the organicness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's make the track, you know, even more special now, because you know, one thing you see with mainstream music where records just pinning people together, like, yeah, let's put that guy with him and see what happens. I mean, it, you know, you didn't wake up that morning knowing that you would have that connection to the ending of the song. Yet it worked. That's what how it happened.
And it helps when you have musicians who are humble people, and they're easy to talk to, they identify with, you know, what you're trying to do. We identify with what they're trying to do. And so when you come together to work, nobody's bringing an ego. Nobody's bringing attitude. Everybody's just there to get the best out of, you know, what we're presenting, or what both parties are trying to present. And, you know, we just kind of left management and business people out of it, and we just went for it. So, yeah.
Right. I can dig it. So I like to ask songwriting questions, and mainly because I'm trying to try my hand at it, so I like to get as much advice as I can. Now, for you guys, when you actually sit down and you write the song, like, what is your process? And I guess if you have any, like, formal training, like, how much is, you know, all of the influences that you have, how much do they all play into, you know, what you actually sit down and decide to write? Like, I mean, is it like you see something happen that day and you're like, that would make a good song? Or if it's like, you know, something out of your life that, you know, you just kind of want to, you know, put out there into the universe. I mean, what is it for you as individuals that help you when you actually do your songwriting?
Right. I think we all can probably answer. Probably we have a different answer for that, but we all write, so I'll keep mine short. When I'm writing, it's more of a spiritual kind of feeling most of the time. I don't feel like I'm really in control of what's being written per se, or the concept that's being written is just something I'm moved to write. Songs come all the time. Some I ignore, unfortunately. Some I pay attention to and document. But there are some that slip through the cracks. But the formal training helps when I want to get a particular idea out. And especially if I want to break a rule or do something my way and I really be concerned with the other stuff, I can use that theory, that theoretical background to manipulate a song any particular way I want to, or express something I want to. So it just gives me a giant tool chest of how I want a song to sound, feel, and move. And outside of that, the process varies wildly. Sometimes it's lyrics first, sometimes it's music first, sometimes it's music and lyrics. Sometimes it's just music, and then it goes on a shelf, and then I go listen to it years later, and I finish it. So the process varies, I mean, drastically. The actual doing of it varies drastically for me.
Mm-hmm. What's the longest it's ever taken you to write a song, like a complete song?
I could probably answer what's the shortest before I can answer what's the longest. For me, the longest it's ever taken for me to, that's a hard question. I don't know that is, I can't really answer that, because if I don't complete a song, it's because I'm distracted by something, I'm unmotivated. It's never a writer's block issue for me. It's always more of a, oh, I'm just feeling lazy today, so I'm just going to document the idea for a day that I'm feeling better, or more focused. So how long have songs been around before I felt that they were complete or complete enough to release? There's one particular song on an up-and-coming CD that, I wrote many years ago, and I thought it was completed. It was a college composition that I needed to have for my orchestration composition class to graduate. And I wrote it, and I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, I found the sheet music just as we were finishing this particular project and revisited the whole thing, changed some things around. And so now I think that the song is ready. So you're looking at about a 10-year gap, you know, between inspiration and what I think is completion right now, or at least complete enough to enter the world. So, you know, yeah.
So how does that exactly feel, that, you know, a song that you wrote that was good enough for you to graduate college still wasn't complete?
I don't I guess I don't look at it that way, because I think my professors, I went to school at a fortunate time where the professors were very open-minded at that time. Not saying they're not now, but I know definitely when I was attending this, you know, Xavier University was definitely, I had a few open-minded professors, and they, I think that's their whole goal is to kind of, you know, they told me, hey, do this, don't do that, you can't do this, you can't have parallel octaves, parallel fifths, you know, you got to have all, you have to follow all these rules, and they expect you to hold that up. But once you've graduated, you've proven what you can do, they expect you to break those rules and challenge them on their concepts. So I remember the first CD I ever recorded, I sent to my college professor, and he just honestly told me, he was like, hey, you know, I was a little disappointed when I heard it. You know, I was like, I listened to it 3 or 4 times in a row. I thought it sucked. He's like, then I had to dumb myself down and I listened to it again. And his response was, hey, it's good for what it is, you know, which was a horrible response. So, you know, after I put a year into writing music that he'd never heard. And he's like, yeah, it was cool for what it was, you know, because for him, it was like, it's just what we taught you. You know, how are you going to be creative if you're just giving us back what we gave you? You know, if you know the rules, it's time for you to kind of make your own strides in it. So that's something I took to heart, and something every time, at least I sit down to write, you know, is something that, you know, I try to challenge myself as well as maybe challenge some of the ideas that they gave me.
I can understand that. I mean, even for somebody who doesn't play an instrument, I can understand, I guess, you know, it's kind of like they taught you the basics, now, you know, fly. Like, get out of the nest. Right.
Right.
I can dig it. I want to get into another track. This track is from the Fresh CD, Closer. That's another one that I really like. I picked it because I wanted to keep in vibe with the actual show, since this is a quiet show. I kind of try to pick mellow tracks. I don't want to pick anything that just changes the tempo too much. But I like this. And, I would like for you guys to give a little background about it before I play it.
Okay. Let's see. Closer was a track that I started working on it just before we went to Russia. I don't remember who I was listening to, but I was really digging the idea of having two tempos on top of one another. If you listen to the song in the beginning, it starts off at a much slower tempo. Then when the drums actually drop, it kind of does a halftime thing, double time thing over the track, and it all kind of moves together. And it's basically, it was experimental for a little bit, and it just kind of shaped into what you hear, you know, when myself, Jay, and the rest of the band kind of got into the tune. It kind of turned into what you hear, and, you know, lyrically, it's just a song of two people in love, who one person is trying to convince the other person that, you know, everything's going to be all right, but, you know, you have to trust me, so, you know, come a little closer, and that's basically it.
All right, folks, you heard it. Let's get into that. This is Closer.
I know.
That song puts me in the mindset of Art of Noise when I hear it.
Does it? Cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to say like it sounds like, but like that's that vibe that they give off in their music. And I was about to say, like, that's a slow jam track. You know, whether people want to hear it, you know, want to believe that or not, but it's a slow jam track. And for sure, I got to get that into the Quiet Storm rotation on Soul City Radio. I got to make sure I do that tonight, as a matter of fact.
We appreciate it.
Again?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, you've been kind of quiet. I mean, I got to get you to talk.
Yeah, actually, I did have something to say about that song. I really, really like that song. It's probably one of my favorites, and I really enjoyed performing it. I enjoyed performing it live, but I also enjoyed recording it. I like the, it's kind of an airy type of approach vocally. I enjoy that. It's kind of a comfort zone for me. And mentally, I just had to go there, the whole idea of what it means to get closer to someone and what that person must really mean to you. So it was an all-around good situation.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. So you being a vocalist, like, let me ask you, I got to come up with a really good question since you've been so quiet. Really good question.
All of your questions have been good.
No, I mean for you specifically, because you've been quiet.
Okay.
As a vocalist, like, yeah, I'm a little stuck. I'm a little stuck.
Really?
Let me come back. Yeah, I am.
Well, you know what? There is something I can tell you. Because
okay.
I songwrite as well, and that was an interesting question that you asked as far as how long has it, or what's the longest it's taken to complete a song. Sometimes, well, for me, a lot of times I write based on inspiration, something that comes up. It's just really strong in my spirit. So I start to write about it, or maybe something I see, and then the words just start to form. Other times I hear the melody, and then I'm able to put words to it. And so for me, it comes in a few different ways. Generally, it's the lyrics first, and then I start to hear the melody along with it. And a lot of times I have an idea that I want to convey. As far as the longest time it's taken to write a song, that is a difficult question. And I agree with Lou. It can take years if it's one of those songs that you just really, you know it's not there yet, and you just, you know there's something more that can be done, and you go back and you tweak it, and then you go back and you tweak it some more until finally it's like, okay, it's perfect. So it can take anywhere from, you know, 20 minutes to 10 years.
Right. I can dig it. I think I have my question now. What I'm trying to ask is, as a vocalist, where... Man, I don't know why I'm stuck there. I know what I'm thinking, but it's hard to get the words out. I'm trying to find out how, you know what, that's terrible. I've never really been stumped asking a question before either, so this is the first.
Oh, the first. Yay.
Yes, this is the first.
I stumped you. I'm just kidding.
You know what? Let's get into this last track. I'm gonna get that question out.
If only I could read your mind.
Right, that would make this a whole lot easier. Cause I have the idea that I'm trying to get across, but I cannot find the words to ask it correctly. So I'm gonna play this track, and by the time we come back from that, I should have that question. And
all right.
I'm gonna play "I Need You." It's from the Two Words EP, and if you could you know, give us a little backdrop about this song, and then we'll play.
You're going back into our vault. Okay. I need You was a song that is on Two Words. It's something that we were playing around with samples, and it's just a pretty simple tune that you know, I thought had a pretty hot groove and was really interesting, really straightforward message. And it's kind of like the precursor to another song that's on our, coming up on our latest CD. But I won't give away what that song is. But I Need You was a very quick write. It didn't take very long to write it. That's one of those songs that, you know, took roughly an hour or so to put together. But it's always resonated really well with a lot of people. The song that I've given a lot of thought to about maybe redoing it or something like that. But it'll be great to hear it.
All right, folks, you heard it first. Well, not first, but maybe you heard it first right here. Who knows? But I Need You. That one too. Yeah. Yeah.
That was actually featuring vocalist Sheena Sampson. She goes by Sammy Rocks nowadays. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I'm trying to figure out, like, where. Yeah, that too is going to the Soul Jam rotation. And what I'm trying to figure out, like, the vibe that I'm getting from that. It's, Well, you know what? I'm not even going to do it. I'm not even going to do it. It's your vibe. So that's where we'll leave it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And, Miss, I have your question. I thought about this one long and hard. So.
Okay.
Yes, I have your question. As a vocalist, how easy or how hard is it for you to get a hold of the direction that a track is going? You know, especially a track, you know, a song that you didn't write. Like, so what I'm asking is, you know, like you come in, you know, one of the folks hands you a song like, you know, this is something that I just came up with. Like, how long does it take you to look at this, know where you know what's supposed to be done, and then lay it out?
Oh, it's a breeze every time. no, seriously, it really just depends on the song. If it's something that I immediately resonate with, I think I can pick it up fairly quickly. If it's something that, you know, maybe it's just a little different for me, not that I don't like it, but it's just different. That might take me a little bit longer to, like, really nail it and capture the emotions behind what the other person wrote and how they need it conveyed to the audience. So it really just depends on how I mesh with the song. If I, like, immediately mesh well with it, then I feel like I can pull it off with, you know, the quickness. But if it's something that I have to, like, really study, then that's going to take me a little longer. And fortunately with Waterseed, a lot of times we'll, like, perform the song before we actually record it. So before we perform it, that means we're going to rehearse it. So basically I have an opportunity to work it out in rehearsal and possibly even at a show before we go into the studio and put it down there.
All right. Do you have one particular song that stands out for you? It may have been the hardest, might have been the easiest.
Oh, okay. Actually, yeah. I'll tell you, one of the hardest songs for me performing was actually Stars in My Bedroom. I wrote to that song, and writing to it wasn't so difficult. There was the idea was already there. I want to say this song is Lou's baby. And I really liked the song, so writing to it came pretty easily. But when it came to performing it, I had some challenges there, I have to be honest. And the song is really out of the box.
Well, that's always a good thing, especially now. You know, I didn't want to go into the whole mainstream music, you know, discussion, because you'll hear the anger coming up. I'm really disappointed with where, you know, mainstream radio is going. It's like, I don't understand people who listen to the radio. At least, like, you know, I stopped listening to that stuff years ago because it's truly disappointing. So I always find it refreshing, you know, when folks like yourself say words like out of the box and experimenting and just doing what you have to do, breaking the rules. Like, that's exciting to me. And it gives me hope that, you know, like, if you guys could do it, maybe somebody in the next generation will hear what you've done and want to do it. And that's my hope.
Exciting.
Yeah. Now, before you guys go, I wanted to give you the floor. You know, whatever it is you need to have said, you know, performances, especially performances, definitely let folks know where they can find you, get in touch with you, all that good stuff. And the floor is yours. Have at it.
Okay. You can always find us on Facebook, and that's Waterseed. You can look us up, do a search for Waterseed. We'll pop up there. Twitter, the same. Waterseed. You can go to our main page, which is waterseedmusic.com. You can find us on YouTube at Waterseed Music, Reverb Nation, Waterseed Music, or just Google Waterseed. We pop up, and we're usually the first people to, you know, the first little tab that pops up. We like to engage our fans and talk, so don't be shy. Come on through, say hello. As far as projects, what to look for, our next CD will be out in the next couple of months. It's called Wonder Love. Keep an eye out for that. It's one of the most amazing CDs I think we've recorded to date. We'll have Feel Like I Do on it, so that gives you an idea of what we're kind of presenting this time around. And just visit as much as possible the website. We are putting together a tour, a very special tour. So, you know, I definitely would tell fans to get on to that and, you know, link up with us somehow, one of our social media networks, so that you can find out when we're coming to your town.
So you are coming back to the DMV, though, right? I know you
We have to. We have to. It's not even a choice. You know, that's a regular Northeastern stop. But I don't want to give it away yet, but we're going to have a lot of special we're going to set up the tour this way in a really special way. So it's going to be really cool when we finally, you know, reveal how we're going to do it. So it's going to be real cool.
That's what's up. I'll be looking forward to that. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got in the DMV, because I'm not missing that one.
Please don't. It's going to be lots of fun.
Yeah, we hope to see you there.
Yeah, I can't. I can't even do it. I know it'll be a disservice to myself. I know you're here and I don't go.
Right.
For sure. Oh, one more question I do want to ask. The name. I know that name is, it means something. You know, you can't just say Water Seed and just not name it mean something deeper than just Water Seed. So, I mean, you guys got to talk about that. How'd you come up with this name?
The name Water Seed was actually the second name picked for the group. The first name was Full Circle. After Googling that, we found a country band from the Midwest named Mid Circle. So we kind of did away with that immediately. And then we, I just, that same afternoon, I kind of took a quick nap or something, or, and the name Water Seed came together. We wanted a name that didn't, I guess you could say, it wouldn't describe our sound. We would have the ability to, you know, find a name and then get, you know, the name to fit whatever sound we created. And I like to use the example, like Earth, Wind, and Fire didn't mean anything musically prior to them shaping the sound of that name and what you expect to hear from it. So Water Seed seemed like a fit, and water represents knowledge, and the seed represents growth. So that's like our motto. That's like our mission statement. So everything we do, we try to acquire as much knowledge as possible, but knowledge is wasted if you don't grow from it. So, you know, water seed basically means knowledge and growth.
That's beautiful. Yes, well, it's been a pleasure. I really, really enjoyed having you guys on the show, and you got to come back.
Most definitely. Thank you for having us. And I know it was it's been a long time coming, us passing through, but it's great to finally be here.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, everything happens in its time, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate the opportunity to, you know, share our music. This is a wonderful platform, so keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I definitely will. I can't stop. I see no reason to.
Awesome.
All right, folks. Yep. I am not going to hold you up any longer. I know you got some gigs this weekend, so I'm going to let y'all go ahead and do y'all thing. And I'm going to continue doing mine. But yes, thank you once again for coming through.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have
Next
a good
time,
one.
My brother. All right, bye-bye.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That was Water Seed, very talented band. I know you guys enjoyed the music out there. And I just got a few more messages that, you know, a few messages I want to get out before I get into this last set of music. And one being, as always, if you are listening via the archives, I thank you. And as always, I invite you to listen to us live each and every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can listen to us through the Soul City Radio website. Just go to soulcityradio.com. Once you get there, click on the Soul Sessions Radio Show tab at the bottom, and it'll take you right to the chat room. You'll see the player. Just press play. You don't have to do anything special to get in the chat room. Just start chatting. And, you know, just come hang out with us. And I'm going to get back into the good music. And remember, each and every Friday, right here on the Flavor News Radio Network, be back. Hold on, let me pull up my list here because I forgot exactly what I was going to play next. Let's see. Yeah, that's where I was. So give me a second while I cue up the song here. And here we go. All right, so on behalf of myself and the folks here at Soul City Radio and Flavor News Radio, I wish you a good night. I hope you enjoy the rest of the sounds. And remember, tune in next Friday and we'll do it all over again. Peace.
It doesn't matter how far you are. I'll find you, I'll find you. I'll take a bus, I'll take a train, plane, an automobile to you. I'll walk 1,000 miles trying to find my way back.
know you've been hurt by love before. So many times, love walked out that door. I know it's not easy, baby, just love again.
Just love again.
When the best of your love is lost in the wind. I'm not the one who caused you all this. But I'm trying to keep my faith in you. But I need your love and trust to be renewed.
Is there a place in your heart to let me love?
Special place in your heart to lend me love.
These tears I cry. That's why I said no more.